You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You wanted me to ask about your therapist.
I want to ask our therapists about therapists.
So I'm now asking you what happened with your former therapist, of which I wish would become your current one.
Yep. So I do not need a therapist anymore.
Okay. Sam.
Don't drag me into this.
Something very interesting happened last week.
To myself.
And I'm not going to use any names, nor does it matter.
Yes.
But I loved this therapist. I loved her. Just absolutely. Like the kind of person.
A life coach or a psychologist?
It was a psychologist. The kind of person that you go in and you get along so well and you're talking that you're like, can we just hang out? I kind of just want to be your friend. Right?
That's not allowed.
And so I have not. Okay. So this is where I'm going with this. I haven't seen her in probably 2 years. Okay. Let me find the email. So I'm driving home from work the other night, and I look over at one of the lovely little houses, and I see who I think is my therapist from a couple years ago. And I'm like, oh. Now, not in a stalkerish way.
Okay. If you have to say that, it is.
No. So I wrote an email and reached out, still had her email, and I said, hey, I'm just going to read you what I wrote.
And then totally needs therapy. No.
She does. I bet the therapist now needs
it
therapy.
It was a friendly email. Hey, I hope
I was watching you.
I hope you are doing great. We have moved, and I swear I saw you the other day. Do you live?
Oh, my God.
I didn't say the address. I will crack up. This beautiful woman was drinking her coffee, and it looked just like you, and I almost stopped to say hi, and then I thought, no, I don't want to freak her out or be weird. LOL. Dana. That was the email. That email was sent Friday at 10:34 a.m.
No reply.
No reply! Do therapists not, like, I saw her probably four.
Just crickets. Nothing but crickets.
I saw her probably five times 2 years ago. I just loved her. Like, I would go have a beer with her right now. However,
she doesn't want to have a beer with you.
I'm thinking maybe it went to spam.
I'm thinking maybe she thought, Dana only came to me five times and then dropped me like a bad habit. I'm not reaching out to her. We didn't have that kind of connection.
No. But wouldn't you at least be like, oh my gosh, so glad to hear from you. Generally don't share where I live with clients. And then I would have felt really bad. So maybe she just didn't see it. Do therapists this is my question. Once you are done, let's say 5 years ago, you saw a therapist.
Yeah.
And then you're out, at a restaurant one night and you're watching the Royals game and you look over and there's your therapist. Can you not be like, hey,
is this her business email?
Yes.
Is this an email that you have used to correspond with her previously?
Yes. 100%.
She saw it.
I thought you were going to say, well, maybe she's moved on.
So
she's moved on from you.
Oh yeah, she's definitely moved on. She has moved on.
She did say to me once, and I love this. She said, if we're ever out, I just want you to know this. Okay? And follow me here, Scott. She said, by the way, I need to tell you something. If we're ever out socially, like in a bar, we had some mutual friends in common, right? And I see you. She said, I don't want you to think I'm being rude, but I am very protective of my clients.
Patient client
privilege. And people know what I do for a living that I am with. And so she said, if I ever see you out and about, please come up and say hi. Give me a hug. How are you doing? But she said, just know I will never go up to you and be like, hey, Dana, because there are, you know, clients understandably would be very uncomfortable if like they were with somebody that said, how do you know that person? And I'm like, well, I really don't want to tell you that. Like, I totally get that. And she did say that. But this is not that. This is I saw her.
So if I was out to dinner with T and I saw my psychologist across the way at a restaurant, I would have no problem going up to
What are you doing?
Doc.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say his last name and say, hey, it's great to see you. I hope you're doing well. And I'll talk to you next Tuesday. But I will tell you this. I've gone to my psychologist since 2018. So it's been 7 years. It may be even longer than that. Maybe 2017. I like him.
Yeah.
I think he likes me.
But can you not have a social relationship after the professional relationship?
I respect the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And I have never talked to him when I wasn't paying for it.
Okay, but Scott, you are still a client. I'm no longer a client. I'm cured. I don't need help. So once once that relationship ends, okay, once it ends.
What are you cured of?
Whatever it was that you think I've got going on with me.
Crazy?
No. It was not like I saw her for 5 years. Like you have a
That's
long...
why she's not responding.
Oh, we got along great.
For five paid sessions.
Okay, so here's the last question and then we'll let it go. And if you're a therapist, I'd love to hear from you. I was going to send another email, but I didn't.
Oh my God.
I didn't do it because I wanted to talk to you guys about it first.
Obsessed much? No. Table of one?
Well, in reading over my initial correspondence, okay, I swear I saw you the other day. Do you live here? Maybe that was a little too like, whoa.
You think? Right?
So I wanted to then email and say, now I'm laughing as I reread this. Please
and
do,
reaching out no, again.
Please do not think that I'm stalking you.
You are.
No. What I'm going to say is I literally live six doors down from you. We are neighbors and you don't have to reply to this, but I don't
Guess
want you to.
Guess who's calling Reese Nichols tomorrow?
Can you not stalk your neighbor?
I wish I had just said to her in the initial email, hey, we're now neighbors. I just wanted to say hi. I didn't. I just said I was driving by. Do you happen to live? And so I can see where she would be like, what do you mean? Do I happen to live? What are you stalking me?
I've got a great idea. Yeah. Make it weirder.
Just show up. Knock on the door.
Cookies.
Hey,
how
new neighbor.
Are you
Just
doing?
Wanted to welcome myself to the neighborhood.
Do you want to know how I'm doing? Do you have 10 minutes?
From ChatGPT, you can.
Okay.
Which it's italicized and bold.
Yep.
So they're not really suggesting it.
You can.
You can become friends with a former therapist. However, there are some ethical guidelines, including, depending on the state, at least 2 years of a waiting period between using that person as a therapist and trying to become friends.
And
so
also,
you've reached that
10-year
mark.
Don't you think it also depends on what you're going to see the therapist for? You know, I really do think that. I think...
But why did you only go to her five times? I've been going to Dr. B.
Because you're way more messed up than I am.
I've seen him every 2 weeks for the last 7 years. Sam, can you do the math on that? That would be 26 times seven.
But with respect, and I don't mean this in a negative way, I swear to you I don't, Scott, men statistically do not have the circle of friends.
I know, that's why I got to pay for my friends.
And or share in the way that best girlfriends do. Like Johnny and I had dinner with Carrie last night. We laughed and talked all night. And I'm not saying you don't have that, but generally women have more of those connections where you get into like, you know, how are you doing in your mental health?
We've had these stories before, Dana, where there were studies that found that as women get older, they actually expand their friend group. As men get older, their friend group dwindles.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Sam.
182 sessions. And ChatGPT goes on to say, there are some things to consider. Maybe ask yourself, are you seeking friendship because you miss the support your relationship with that therapist gave you?
Right, because Sam, you don't want it to get weird where every time you ask, like, what is your advice about this? You don't want the therapist thinking, oh, you just want my free advice.
Would this dynamic feel equal, or would I still see them as a therapist? Mm-hmm. Or how would I feel if the friendship didn't go the way that I hoped, which clearly it's not already.
You know what? I feel bad for therapists, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
You know, if you're a lawyer, you will have people from time to time who don't really know you be like, hey, I've got a legal question.
Yep.
You know, and then at some point as an attorney, you have to say, you are welcome to call my office, right? You have to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. As a therapist, don't you always think, let's say you and I go out on a walk. We're just walking.
Am I a therapist?
And you are a therapist. I would feel like, I almost would feel weird, like, can I talk to you about anything that would be a normal conversation with anyone? I don't want you thinking I'm fishing for professional advice.
But you are.
And then as the therapist, I wouldn't want to be in the position where, in my mind, I'm like, well, these are those same old patterns coming up again, but I'm not going to tell her that. Like, can you have a normal friendship as a therapist?
Here's the problem, Dana. With my therapist, Dr. B, I've spent more than 182 hours with him.
Yeah.
That is days that I've spent sitting in his office. You spent 5 hours of your entire life with this therapist.
Yeah, but when I connect with someone, it happens. And they're either my person and or they're not my person.
And maybe she didn't connect.
Well, yeah, but you would still... I'm going to send another email.
No. I think that is a mistake.
ChatGPT goes on to say, and I want to see if you guys can identify which word in this sentence is bold and italicized.
Okay.
If you are seriously considering
I'm
going to
go
it,
with seriously.
Okay. You could try reaching out in a respectful and light way. Maybe express appreciation and openness and your desire to stay in touch if they're comfortable with it. But be prepared for them to decline.
And if they don't respond, it means they're not comfortable.
No, because she would be a responder. I'm going to say, look, now I'm laughing that I reread this. You probably think I'm stalking you. I should have been more...
That's a good idea. Go ahead and write that during the commercial break.
Yes, I'm going to do that.
Okay. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana.
Why won't you call me back? Now we're neighbors.
Oh my God.
I just live right down the street. Call me.
Seek help. Go ahead.
Okay. In rereading this email, I am now laughing out loud because, oh my gosh, I am not stalking you, and I hope beyond hope I didn't startle you with the wording in my prior email. What I should have said
is nothing.
Is that if, in fact, that was you, we are neighbors, and that makes me smile. I hope you are well.
The judge
I want you sleep at night.
Every breath you take is my favorite song.
I noticed you put 3 dabs of Tabasco on your eggs in the morning. Why not 4?
I know how this looks, but you know me. I am not stalking anyone.
Your husband drank 2 beers on the front porch the other night. I couldn't help but notice.
What's that paint color in your kitchen?
The judge in New York has denied...
Can I borrow your binoculars?
Denied bail... You don't need to borrow hers. God knows you have your own.
Mine are foggy.
Bail has been denied for Sean Diddy Combs. He remains in jail after his conviction earlier today on 2 lesser charges.
That gives me some hope that he might get a real sentence in this.
Maybe. From the text line, Dana, have you ever seen the movie What About Bob? Apparently,
it's been a while.
Okay, apparently you are one of the characters in What About Bob. Also from the text line, this is how every stalker movie begins. And also from the text line, in other news, the stripper doesn't really like you either.
I am sending that email because I don't want her to think I'm crazy.
Dana, you went to her 5 times. You literally spend as much time with her as you do with me in one day. Think about that.
Right, but I'm a lot in big chunks.
I know. What I'm saying is, in your entire life, you have spent as much time with her as you do with me in one day.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that maybe there's a chance she doesn't remember you, but knowing you, there's not a chance. Oh,
no, I'm
unforgettable.
I'm very memorable.
Unforgettable.
I want you to bring this up with your therapist and just say.
Oh, he's a P1. I don't have to.
Okay. He'll bring it up. I'm just curious. You know, let's say for whatever reason, he actually retires and says, I'm cutting you loose.
He is retired.
Yeah, I know. But like, he's like, okay, I'm really now retired. I'm going to be done doing this thing.
Why would anyone cut me
Would you want to hang out? Like, would you just want to go have a beer? Or you've seen him so long, there is an imbalance in that relationship because he knows so many things about you that even if you're like commenting on the Royals score, you would be worried that he's thinking, well, there he goes again doing that thing. You know what I mean?
So... Dr. B is about 30, or check that, 20 years my senior, which is to say he's in his 70s. And like I said in the last segment, I like him a lot. We get along really well. And I respect the hell out of him.
Yeah.
One of the smartest human beings I've ever met. I've never talked to him without paying for it.
Okay.
I don't.
What if I go by and I ring the doorbell and say hi, but I hand her a $20 bill?
Yeah, let's make it even weirder.
From the text line, Dana is like the guy that keeps calling, leaving a voicemail about his previous voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Also from the text line.
Not sure if you got my voicemail.
You smell different when you sleep.
You smell different when you sleep.
I was driving by today. I have at least four times a day I'm driving by, whether I'm going to get coffee. I got mulch today. And I thought if she's sitting out there, I was going to honk and wave. I thought, well, maybe not. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just 10 and 2. Straight ahead, 10 and 2.
What would you do if, let's put this in another perspective.
Carry on, sunshine.
That's Dana.
Mm-hmm. It really is. That's from the voicemail she left last night.
Carry on, sunshine. Yeah.
Let's say that you had a client, and we've had, we have plenty of clients, and we've had plenty
and
of clients.
And our friends, the clients are friends.
Yes, I'm friends with some of my clients. If the relationship ended and they didn't want to advertise for whatever reason anymore, would you be okay if they text or emailed you and said, hey, just happened to be driving by the other day and couldn't help but notice that we're neighbors, love the interior paint of your house. Do you mind if I swing by later? You would be like, no.
No, but that is invasive, obviously. I'm not going to be.
You don't think you're being invasive?
No, I think it went to spam. I really do.
You had five sessions.
She's a replier. She would have said, it's great to hear from you.
She did reply. It's like when God doesn't answer a prayer.
A second email, kind of odd. If you send a third, she's going to reply, with a recommendation that you sign up for another session.
No, it's going to be CC'd to the Overland Park Police Department.
I believe it's called a do not trespass order. Stop with the slow drive-by.
So let me ask you this. When you drive by her house, you have to drive by her house to get to your house.
Yes, yes.
When you drive by her house, do you have this longing that she's outside so you can make contact?
No, it is not a long.
Do you think that's my therapist's house every time you drive by it?
Well, yeah, because I want to wave at her and be like, hey, but now I'm like, this is weird.
So there is a bit of a longing to see her outside.
It's not a longing. It's just somebody that I really enjoyed hanging out with.
For 5 hours of your entire life.
It might have been 10. I don't remember. It was 2 years
ago. No, you said it was 5 sessions.
I don't remember.
You said it was 5 sessions. So I'm gonna do the math here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find out how many hours you've been alive.
While you're doing that, I want to ask our listeners, and it doesn't matter what you do for a living.
25 times 365. I'm going to leave out the leap years.
Okay.
Times 51. You have been on this planet for 446,760 hours. Mm-hmm. That's how many hours you've been on this planet.
Yeah.
446,760.
That's a lot of hours.
You've known her for 400, or check that. The time in your life that you have not known her is 446,755.
Like 99%, right.
It's much higher than 99%.
Okay. I want to know from our listeners, did you have a working relationship with someone? Strictly business. It doesn't matter what it is. You could be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Just a working relationship with a client, with someone at your job or job adjacent. And then it morphed into, hey, we ran into each other at a bar and now we're friends.
She's not your friend.
Well, not yet. She hasn't seen my email.
She has seen it. A non-response is a response. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. She sent it.
Very quick story from the text line before we move on.
Oh, no, I'm going to have her read the email that she just sent to her former therapist.
From the text line, I was a manager at a fast food restaurant. And we would have customers that came in every single day and ordered the same thing. And, you know, you start talking to the customers and stuff like that. You develop a friendship. I saw one of those customers at the bar one night. I walked up to them on the dance floor and said hi. Looked at me like I was a weirdo. Then I explained who I was and told them their order. They looked at me even more like I was a weirdo. The point, don't be a weirdo.
Okay.
Read the email that you sent. Just leave out the addresses.
I just said, laughing.
Sam, I want you to listen to this. No. Don't speed read through it. I want you to read it with emphasis and emotion.
Sam, this is exactly what I wrote. Okay.
We're ready.
In rereading this email, I am now laughing out loud because, oh my gosh, I am not stalking you, and I hope beyond hope I didn't startle you with the wording in my prior email. What I should have said is that if, in fact, that was you, we are neighbors, and that makes me smile, except for the part where I reread this, and it looks like I'm a crazy person randomly roaming around looking for you. That could not be further from the truth. Then I go on about the house a little bit. I just said, I hope you're doing well. I wanted to say hello. That's it.
Okay. Sam, that's a long email to just say hello.
I would let it go.
Okay.
I would.
That's it. There will not be a third. I'm completely done.
And if you do not get a reply, will you be hurt?
No. I'll be perplexed, but I won't be hurt. No.
What if she's a listener?
No, she's not. And in fact, that came up. No. That came up. And I think your therapist is a listener.
He is.
And she's so good. What she said was, I have not listened, don't take offense, and I will not, because I want no preconceived notions. And, you know, people listen to this and think one thing or this, that, you know what I'm saying?
Like that you're a stalker.
No. It's so funny.
I love the story. All I'm saying is it reeks a little bit of
Marybeth
and I found out that we lived in the same apartment complex as our favorite bartender at one of our favorite bars.
Yeah.
And she opened that conversation with, do you live at? And that is never the way to start the conversation.
Right.
She looked at us like we were stalking her.
You're like, no, I didn't mean it like that. Mm-hmm. But it came out like that. Anyway.
It never ends well.
Story here from the USA Today. What does the Nathan's hot dog eating contest have in common with the Indianapolis 500? You may be wondering. A lot. If you're Joey Chestnut, the 16-time Nathan's champion, set to return to the contest on Friday after a one-year ban over a contractual dispute. Quoting here from Chestnut.
That's right. There was some sort of like kerfuffle,
well,
right?
He had signed a contract with one of Nathan's competitors.
Yeah.
A vegan hot dog company. Oh,
God.
Yeah. Says Chestnut to the USA Today. By the way, this was under the sports column on the USA Today's website.
Okay. Where else would it be?
It's where it belongs.
They're athletes.
If you're an IndyCar racer, says Chestnut, you want to be in the Indy 500. There might be other eating contests all throughout the year, and there might be other races throughout the year. But if you're any car driver, you need to be at the 500. That's the way I feel about the 4th of July. If you're a competitive eater like me, you should be at the 4th of July hot dog contest.
That's true.
He has won 16 times. 16 times.
My God.
His record is 76 hot dogs and buns during a 10-minute contest in 2021.
And that is the official record for the Nathan's contest. The Netflix contest last fall, it was the rematch of him and the other guy who I can't think of his name right now.
Is it Kobayashi or?
Something like that.
Kobayashi or something.
That was a fun interview, by the way, this week. Thank you for setting it up with your neighbor's nephew who is going to compete.
Cameron Mead. He's going to, he is going to compete in that sport.
His record, Joey Chestnut's record at that event last fall was 83 dogs.
He beat Kobayashi, did he not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, that was a can of corn.
That was a can of corn.
Seriously.
He went yard. He totally went yard on that competition last year. Kanye West, I refuse to call him Ye. Kanye West was recently stripped of an Australian visa after he released his single, Heil Hitler.
Oh, God.
According to an Australian government minister. Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke revealed that Kanye West has been traveling for years to Australia, where his wife of 3 years, Bianca, was born. Her family lives in Melbourne. Burke said that Heil Hitler, released in May, promoted Nazism. You think? The song has been criticized as anti-Semitic.
Speaking of needing therapy.
What is wrong with him?
Yeah, what is wrong with him?
I think that he was on some medication for a while, and for the last however many years decided he didn't want to be on that medication anymore. And
he needs to see a therapist.
Oh, yeah.
The trial for a Parkville teen accused of firebombing two Tesla Cybertrucks and two charging stations on March 17th.
Yes.
On State Line Road has been pushed back. Owen McIntyre, 19 years of age, was supposed to be in court for trial in August of 2025. His case is now set for August 10th of 2026. His defense team said they need more time to prepare. McIntyre is out on bond. In previous statements, McIntyre's attorney specified that his client takes daily medications for depression, ADHD, and other stuff. Owen McIntyre is charged with one count of unlawful possession of a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, I want to say one count
of malicious damage by fire.
I want to say something just briefly about the verbiage that is used in describing the alleged crime. I have seen, and I don't remember which station or if it was the newspaper, say something to the effect of the suspect who is accused of setting fire to some cars, okay?
Yeah, that was a paper.
There is a difference, all criminal, but there is a difference between setting a car on fire and Molotov cocktailing. That's a homemade bomb, is it not? With gasoline
bottle that you fill with gasoline. Not that
whatever
I've ever made
is.
One. What you do is you take a bottle,
yes.
You fill it with gasoline, you put a rag on the top.
Yeah.
You light the rag
I've seen the movies.
On fire, and then you throw it.
Yeah.
When the glass breaks around the rag that's on fire,
it explodes.
Everything inside catches
right.
on fire.
And so I just want to be clear, neither one of those things are okay, but I do see a very real difference between, quote, setting a car on fire and throwing Molotov cocktails at cars. I just do.
I don't want to be dramatic, but one is arson. The other is literally using a weapon of war. That's where we got Molotov cocktails.
It's an explosive. Yes.
I believe Molotov cocktails were invented during World War I by the Soviets.
Because they were short on the ingredients necessary to make real grenades.
I believe that is correct.
But yes, text line, we all need therapy.
But what's your point?
Well, I think when you say set a car on fire, you are minimizing what really happened, which is the throwing of the Molotov cocktail.
So you're saying what Owen McIntyre did.
Yeah, not that I want to rank arsons, but you know.
But it was worse than just going up with a lighter and setting the tire of a car on fire and then the car catches on fire.
In my opinion, that is what I'm trying to say, yes.
And the headline that you're referencing was an opinion piece about whether or not 20 years was a just punishment for simply, quote, setting a car on fire.
And Sam, we can have that discussion. Because I honestly, we have had people kill people that don't get 20 years.
I think 20 years is too long.
I do too. But I also think we need to call a Molotov cocktail what it is.
If Owen McIntyre is convicted, Owen McIntyre should go to prison for, I would say, 5 to 10 years. I think that would be an adequate punishment.
All right. Speaking of going to prison, we have a crime in Clay Como. And Clay Como has not been in our stack in quite a while, by the way.
I can't remember the last time it was.
Authorities in Clay Como say they have identified a man accused of exposing himself, quote, multiple times after asking the community for help. Here's not that these stories aren't always bizarre because they are, but here's what is particularly bizarre about this story. He is accused of that act, multiple incidents, but all at the same business. The store's name is not being shared publicly. However, we're going to talk about this when we come back. If you had to guess, and I would stake my house on it, what is that type of business?
A liquor store or a
It's a convenience store.
I was going to say a liquor store or a convenience store.
So keep in mind, and this is a very identifiable guy. He's a big guy, bald, very good surveillance.
Oh, it's a very good picture.
Photos of this. Like, if you know this guy, you know that this is the guy. And then he's got a logo on his shirt, which might be where he works. I'd have to zoom in and look at that with my readers.
Maybe we don't tell people where he works.
Well, but that's part of the story. After asking anyone who recognized the man captured on a store surveillance to contact police, authorities say they have taken him into custody. Clay Como police say the individual caught on camera is accused of multiple incidents of indecent exposure at the same store.
913-586-7798.
What is wrong with people?
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Well, he may have spoken a little too soon. I'm on abcnews.com. I guess after the verdict was read this morning, which found Sean Diddy Combs was guilty of the two lesser charges that he faced. I'm not minimizing their severity. I'm just saying these are ones where he will definitely not be going to prison for the rest of his life, or at least it's highly unlikely. And he was acquitted of the more serious charges of racketeering and human sex trafficking. Apparently, he got down on the after the jury was dismissed and everything was pretty much over with. He gets down on the floor behind the defense table, and leans onto his chair and says a prayer. Nothing wrong with that. I don't know that he's particularly religious, based on the way that he behaves in real life, but whatever. Then looks to his family seated behind him and says, "I'm coming home, baby. I'm coming home, baby." The judge has just denied him bail. He is not coming home, and he is likely going to prison when he is sentenced in a matter of weeks or maybe
did a month. Did he misunderstand or misread the verdicts as they were delivered?
No, because I think everybody knew, I'm sure his attorney, if or attorneys,
yeah, said, look,
if they're worth their salt, said, listen, if we can skate on the racketeering and the human sex trafficking, you're still going to go to prison if you're found guilty on the transportation for prostitution, but you're not going to prison for the rest of your life. You will taste freedom again. And that's what he was found guilty of, was two counts of transportation for prostitution. But as soon as they read off the racketeering, keep in mind this was in federal court, so there were no TVs.
Yeah.
And so the reporters were outside court literally reading off their phones as their correspondents, colleagues, beg your pardon, were texting out the verdicts as they were happening in real time. And when I heard not guilty of racketeering, I was like, wow, he's definitely not going to prison for the rest of his life. And then not guilty on count two, which was human trafficking, guilty on three, which was transportation for prostitution, not guilty on count four, which was human trafficking, and guilty on five, which was prostitution.
Now, he can still be charged at the state level for the same crimes based on the amount of evidence that we now know exists.
I don't think so.
Well, even in the domestic violence?
He can be charged with that. Because
aspect of the case?
He could be charged theoretically with anything he wasn't charged with on the federal level, because otherwise that constitutes double jeopardy. I don't believe, and maybe I'm wrong, and an attorney, Sam, if you're right, I'll freely admit that you're right and I'm wrong. I don't think you can do that. However, having said that, now wait a minute. I remember when John E. Robinson was first arrested in, I think, 1999 or 2000, he was brought up on state charges in both Kansas and then Missouri, because some of the murders occurred in Kansas, some of the murders occurred in Missouri. I'm trying to remember if they charged him on the federal level, because one of the women was
I think it was both
kidnapped in Missouri and then murdered in Kansas.
According to legal experts, whatever, this is the internet, so believe it if you want to.
Yeah.
Federal laws and state laws are technically different.
Okay.
So there, it's not double jeopardy because he was tried under a federal statute. If whatever state these alleged crimes happened in, he can be charged within that state for sex trafficking through intimidation, violence, or coercion.
Okay. All right.
When we get
then I'm wrong.
Did you see that there's like three movies I want to see right now? Jurassic World Rebirth roared to $260 million worldwide for its box office opening.
It was prehistoric numbers.
Mm-hmm. Get out. That is headline number one.
I honest to God, I need you to leave.
Headline number two is not as positive. Have you read the reviews?
Are they bad? Are they good?
It's not good.
Oh,
But I want to go see it. I love the Jurassic Park franchise.
Did you go see the last one, Lost World or whatever?
Yes.
It was terrible.
You know, I think there are more casualties in this one. Like, get back to the basics. We want to see dinosaurs eating bad people. But the reviews are not all flowery.
Well, similar to the Fast and Furious series, we're not in it for the plot line at this point.
I agree, Sam.
I want to see dinosaurs eating people, just like I want to see cars flying out of helicopters.
Why do they keep bringing the dinosaurs back to life? Didn't they learn their lesson in the first one in 1993?
One of the reviews says the movie is better off extinct.
Okay. Quick break for the news. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.